Thank you, Jesus, for being the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you have your Bibles with you, we're still in the 23rd Psalm. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. And I'm going to ask all that are able to stand to do so in honor of the reading of God's Word. The theme for our series is the goodness of God. And Psalms 105 says, "For the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind. And His faithfulness goes on to each succeeding generation." And then our text, Psalm 23. Read along with me the next three verses. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And then in Romans 8:14, why is it so important to be led by the Spirit of God? Only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, may we be led by Your Spirit today and every day. God, may we be led by Your Spirit in this service. God, may we not care about what anybody else in this room thinks. But God, may we submit and surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain down on this place today. God, I know that there are people in this congregation today that are facing some difficult decisions. God, may they not do what feels good, but God, may they do what Your Spirit says. Father, help us. May we have ears today to hear what the Spirit of the living God says. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the beautiful thing about God is He's given every one of us free will. Free will means we get to choose. But here's what happens. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. But we live in a broken world, and we are broken people. And so the potential to make the wrong choices is great. But God has given us something, the Holy Spirit, to help us make good choices. But our choices make us. One of the people is in our time for King. Her name is Patricia, and she tells her story after she sings her last song. And she talks about being molested and abused. And then she reacted to what other people did to her by trying to kill the pain through drugs and alcohol. So she made a choice. It was a reaction to what somebody else did, but she made a choice. And that choice made her. She became a crackhead. And then her crack addiction led her to prostitution to support her addiction. You see, she made her choices, and then the choices made her. Her choices made her a crackhead. Her choices made her a prostitute. But while she was in prison, laying flat out on that concrete floor, she said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And God, because of her choices, made her a princess to the King of Kings. You understand, your choices you make, but then your choices make you. God's given us three things to help us make the right choices. God's given us His Word, which is our roadmap for life. Okay? All right, and then God has given us a conscience, and that's our compass. But then God has given those who put their trust in Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit to be a guidance counselor on the road of life. And today we're going to be looking at how to be led by the Spirit of God. Before church got started, back there in the kitchen, there's three of the men there, and one of them had already seen what the topic was, and he said, "Pastor, you're preaching on one of the most important things in the whole world, how to be led by the Holy Spirit." Well, on this journey, there are certain stops and starts that you need to make. 2 years ago, my wife was facing her fourth back surgery, and she said, "Boy, I have this done. I want us to climb Crowder's Mountain." Okay? We'd done it before when her health was better, but we hadn't done it in a long time. So I said, "All right, let's do it." We set a date, and we went a little ways, and we had to stop. And then we went a little ways, and we had to stop. So it's a lot of stops and starts, but you know what? We made it all the way to the top. But to be led by the Spirit of God, there's going to be things you're going to have to stop doing and some things you're going to have to start doing. So I'm going to share with you today five stops and five starts to be led by the Spirit of God. We'll start with the stops. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. All right, so that means I'm going to have to stop doing some things so I don't put out the Spirit's fire. Number one, stop following a culture that does not follow God. Exodus 23 and verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. I grew up in a family that loved to go rabbit hunting. And let me tell you what I know about rabbit hunting. You can't chase two rabbits at one time. Yeah. Brother Ken, a preacher can't even chase two rabbits at one time. All right? And so what happens is, as we go through life, we cannot follow the culture and follow God at the same time. The culture is going against God, and this way is going with God. You can't do both of them. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you got to stop following the culture. By the way, culture is temporary anything. What they call good today, they're going to call bad tomorrow. What they call bad today, they'll call good tomorrow. I mean, the culture just puts their finger in the wind, see which way it's blowing, and that's what they decide. I'll give you an example. We call them fads. I remember I got some pictures when I was in the first, second, third grade, and I got these button-down shirts on for my school pictures. Okay? I still got some button-down shirts. But I remember in my teenage years, that went out, and that wasn't cool, and that wasn't hip. Okay? What happened was, you got to have these shirts, got these big collars on them. I mean, you could fly an airplane. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because, see, what became popular was these things called leisure suits. And what you had to do is you had to pull your shirt out, your collar out, and it had to be on the outside of that jacket on your leisure suit. Yeah. Well, if you'd wear something like that now, people would laugh at you. They'd laugh you out of Walmart, okay? But hang on to it. If you live long enough, it's coming back. So you don't want to follow the culture. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and values of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You'll then learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, let me tell you why this is so hard to do. We live in a political correct world. And what that means is we got the culture saying, this is what you got to do, here's how you got to do it. And listen, if you don't do it the way they say it, they will punish you. Think about all the ways the culture bombards us today. TV, radio, music, magazines, the internet, social media. Sometimes the news will even start off, Twitter is outraged. I'm thinking, who's this guy Twitter? What they're really saying is our culture is outraged on social media. And so it makes us hard for us not to follow the culture. But friend, culture many times is wrong. I saw one of these things, you know, a little sign that was made up. And here's what it says. It says, don't believe everything on the internet. Abraham Lincoln. Well, folks, you shouldn't believe everything on the internet. But listen, Abraham Lincoln didn't say it, okay? But that's the kind of world we live in. Listen, folks, today they're concerned about water pollution and they're concerned about air pollution. You know, people in Flint, Michigan, they can't drink the water. It's so bad. But I'm going to tell you, there's something worse than water pollution and air pollution, and that is mind pollution. And if you're not careful, your mind will be polluted by a culture that is against God. You want the Holy Spirit to lead you. You cannot follow a culture that is not following God. Let me tell you something. I've lived long enough that I've seen our culture go from following God to not following God. Secondly, stop following the crowd, that is people that are not following God. In 1 John 3:7-8, dear children, don't let anyone lead you the wrong way. Christ is righteous. So to be like Christ, a person must do what is right. So anyone who continues to sin belongs to the devil. The Bible is saying if you continue in habitual, willful sin, you are of the devil. Doesn't mean you don't slip up, don't mean you don't make mistakes, but there's got to be a break at some point from how you used to be to how you are now. You see, there was a time I was running after sin. Now I'm running from sin. Every once in a while, sin still catch me, oh, all right? Don't mean you're perfect. But see, what will happen is the people you hang out, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to influence them, or they're going to influence you. And if you're hanging out with people that's not following God, you will not hear the Holy Spirit speak in your life. It'll be blocked out. I don't know if y'all had this experience. Bonita and I was talking about this earlier. You know, our kids, when they were small, we want them to eat good. And then you become a grandparent, you let them have, hey, listen, you want candy and ice cream for breakfast? That's fine. You know, it's just a different world. But I remember when my kids were small, you know, I want them to eat good, want them to eat healthy. I want them to eat their green vegetables. Neither one of my kids like green vegetables. I went one day down there to the daycare and was having lunch with my son, and I'm watching him eat broccoli. And I think, this is a dream. And afterwards, I asked the daycare director, I said, how did you get him to eat anything green? She said, oh, that's easy. All the other kids are eating, and all I had to do is say to him, look, everybody's eating theirs. Don't you want to eat yours? You want me to tell you what that's called? Peer pressure. And so when you're around people that aren't following God, guess what they're going to do? They're going to try to pressure you to do things where you cannot hear the Spirit of God in your life. Proverbs 13:20 says, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. You understand, only two kind of friends, wise friends, fools. There's not anything in between. So who you running with? Who you hanging out with? I love the saying, you can't soar with the eagles if you're running with the turkeys. Okay? Jeremiah 15:19 says, you will be my spokesman. You will influence them. Do not let them influence you. Now, what I'm saying is you don't run with people that are not following God. I'm not saying that we have nothing to do with those people. You understand, if we have nothing to do with them, they'll never become one of God's children. But what I'm saying is you're to influence them for good. They're not to influence you away from God. The question is, which one are you? Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? See, when we come in here on Sunday morning, there's a thermometer over here that says, this is what the temperature is. It reflects the temperature. But we have a thing called a thermostat, and we can press it, and guess what? It affects the environment. It doesn't reflect it. And that heat will kick on, or that air will kick on, and one of you will start fanning, okay? You're either a thermostat that is affecting your environment, or you're a thermometer that's showing up what's going on around you. Be a thermostat. Number three, stop listening to counterfeit sources. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 10, it says, never look to psychics or seances or fortune telling or the stars or people who claim to contact the dead. People who do these things are doing evil, and God hates it with a passion. Notice here, sometimes we have things parading in our life that look like they're an authority and that they're speaking with authority into our life. And so what we see is that people today turn to Oprah and Dr. Phil and Rush Limbaugh to find out what the truth is and what they should do in their life. And folks, we seek the truth because Jesus is the truth. You're not going to find the truth in these other sources. You see, you don't turn in the paper and read your horoscope to find out what's going to happen to you. You see, God has a plan for your life, and you look to God. You realize how foolish it is that the stars. Let me give you an example. Remember that there was a woman had two children, Jacob and Esau. They're twins. Look how different their lives turned out. They was born under the same star. You understand, when one of them got up and read that morning, something great's going to happen to you. That was the same horoscope for Jacob and Esau. The stars don't have anything to do with it. Friend, it's the Son of God who has something to do with it. And yet, what do I see today? I see people looking at all of these different sources. Folks, you can't have it both ways. See, you can't believe in heaven and believe in reincarnation. Both of them can't be true. It can't be when you die, you go to heaven. Oh, man, you've been bad, you die, you come back as a cockroach. It don't work that way. It's either one or the other. But listen, the world's been doing this forever. There's a strange verse over in Ezekiel. Listen, Ezekiel says a lot of strange things, okay? But notice here what it says in Ezekiel 21:21. For the king of Babylon stands at a fork. That is a fork in the road, a crossroads. Uncertain. You see, he needs to make a decision. Whether to attack Jerusalem or Rahab. He will call his magicians to use divination, and they will cast lots by shaking arrows from the quiver. And they will sacrifice to idols and inspect the liver of the sacrifice. Now, all that was English, but do you understand what just happened? Do you understand what he's describing? I told you, Ezekiel says some strange stuff. Well, it was the custom of the Babylonians, the custom of the Egyptians, it was the custom of the Greeks, it was the custom of the Romans. When they had a decision to make and they didn't know what to do, they'd offer, all right, do I go to war with this country or this country? They'd take two animals, they'd sacrifice them. After they sacrificed them, they'd take their liver and they would weigh them. And whichever liver weighed the most, that's who we're going to attack. Oh, man. You say, that is crazy. People do it all the time now. They're not weighing livers. But you know what they do? They do other crazy stuff. Palm reading. Mother, sister, so-and-so, and they stop in. And they consult cards. And people make decisions about their lives based on the little strip in their fortune cookie. I did a little research here, and you're going to be shocked at what I discovered. In Russia, they have a practice of taking a handful of dried beans. They want to know what decision I make? They take a handful of dried beans, and they throw them up in the air, and they fall on the floor, and then they walk around and try to figure out a pattern of the beans in the floor to know what to do. That's crazy. But it gets worse. Not only that, but there's a thing called parrotmancy. I'd never heard of this. And what happens is, in some of these cultures, they're trying to decide who they're going to marry. You'd say that's a pretty important decision, right? Who are you going to marry? And so what they do is they put these cards out here, and it's got names of different people on it, and they take the parrot out of the cage, and whichever one of them cards the parrot picks up, that's who they're supposed to marry. Oh, man. It gets worse. In some of the cultures, they have a practice called rumpology. And what is that all about? You go to this person who is an expert, and they predict and tell your future based upon the shape of your butt. I got a flat future. Now, folks, this would really, really be funny if it were not true. But there are actually people making decisions of what they do with their life. It doesn't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Notice here what it says in 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. The Bible says that Satan can make himself appear as an angel of light. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, if an angel from heaven comes and preaches to you another gospel besides the one I have preached, do not believe it. Test the spirits. Number four. Stop being led by circumstances. We have an example in Paul's life in Acts 27, verse 10. Paul is speaking and he's on a ship and they're going to sail out. And he said, hey guys, bad idea. Sirs, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Perhaps shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries and death. But notice, just then a light, gentle wind began blowing from the south, and it looked like a perfect day for the trip. So they pulled up anchor, sailed along close to shore, but shortly afterwards, the weather changed abruptly, and a heavy wind of typhoon strength caught the ship and blew it out to sea. Instead of seeking God's will, should we go? They didn't. What did they do? They looked to the weatherman. Listen, the weatherman's the only guy I know it can be wrong so many times and still have a job. And the weatherman said, oh, it's smooth sailing. And so they listened to what? the circumstances. Oh, it's a nice, gentle wind. It's a beautiful day. This is our sign. Listen, there's a lot of Christian people living their lives by a sign instead of by the Spirit of God. The only problem is the devil can lie to you through the signs. There'll be people today. There'll be people today. They'll wake up late and they'll say, oh, I overslept. It's God's will for me not to go to church. No, it's not. You should have set your alarm clock. If you set it, you shouldn't have turned it off when it went off. Okay? But they're going to, see, they use the sign. Oh, I'm riding down the road and there's a bird hits my window. Well, oh, that's a sign from God. No, the bird got in the way. And then number five, stop being led by your feelings. Listen, you ought to make this, you ought to write this down and put it on your refrigerator and put it on your mirror. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Let me tell you what, there's all kinds of bad information out there every day, and it says something like, you got to follow your heart. No, you better not. Your heart is deceitful. Your heart is wicked. That's what the Word of God says. But people say it all the time, you got to follow your heart. No, you got to follow God. That's what you got to do. You got to follow the Holy Spirit, not your heart. Listen, your feelings lie. Is that true? Your feelings ever lied to you? You ever felt a certain way and found out, well, what you felt wasn't true? I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Fellas, I know you can see this. Ladies, I hope you see it. But sometimes there'll be an attractive woman, and she'll look in the mirror and she'll say, I feel ugly. I feel fat. And what happens is she develops an eating disorder because she feels fat. And she's not fat, but she feels fat. You see, your feelings lie to you. And look at me. Listen to me. You lie to you more than you lie to anybody else. Don't believe your feelings. Your feelings will lie. Proverbs 14:12 says, you may feel you are on the right road and still end up dead. How about a guy by the name of Jonah? You remember Jonah? He's running from God. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's over in Iraq. He gets on a boat, and he goes to Tarshish. That's in Spain. He's going the opposite direction. And God sends this very violent storm. I want to ask you something. What was Jonah doing when the storm was raging? The Bible says he was in a deep sleep. The sailors are out there. They're just bucketing water. They're trying to keep the ship from going down. What's Jonah doing? He is sound asleep. Oh, they wake him up and say, how can you sleep? Call on your God. You know what? Jonah could say, hey, listen, I can sleep because I feel good about what I'm doing. I can sleep because I feel good about where I'm going. I can sleep because I feel good about the... Listen, I'm at peace on the inside. He was in a deep sleep. You see, your feelings can mislead you. Isaiah 53 says, we, that's every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. And why do all of us do that? Because we go by our feelings instead of by the Holy Spirit. So we got to stop doing this, and then we got to start doing some things. What are those five things? Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, I must want to be led of God. Psalm 40 and verse 8, my God, I want to do what you want. Your teachings are in my heart. Remember, I started off saying God's blessed us with a free will and we get to choose. Well, the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. The Holy Spirit's not going to come and twist your arm. The Holy Spirit's not going to knock the heart, the door of your heart down. The Holy Spirit will knock on your heart, but if you don't open the door, the Holy Spirit is not going to force you against your will. You got to want to. Any of you remember you as a teenager and your mama's talking to you and you didn't want to hear it, huh? And you kind of toned out, you know, you kind of staring out in space. She's going, wah, 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 and you just kind of staring out in space. And then your mama will say to you, look at me, boy, when I'm talking to you. Y'all have those experiences? Well, what was going on is you didn't want to hear what she had to say. You got to start wanting to be led by the Spirit of God. God, not my will, but your will be done. You got to put your will to the side and want the will of God in your life. And then secondly, I must be willing to do what God says. All right, God, I want it. And then God says it. I got to be willing to do it. John 7:17. Jesus said, whoever is willing to do what God wants and chooses it will know if what I teach comes from God. You see there? You got to want it. And then you got to decide ahead of time you're going to do it. How many of you like going to cafeteria? You know, like Jackson's cafeteria, K&W cafeteria? Have you noticed something about the cafeteria? They always put the dessert first. Let me tell you why they do that. If they put it at the end, and after you had all that other stuff, you say, oh, I don't have room for it. So they put it at first because, listen, that stuff looks good. It smells good. It tastes good. And they're trying to get you to buy into it. We see a lot of people want to do the will of God like cafeteria style. Let's see. Let's go over here and see what God has spread out. Oh, God, I have some of this. God, I'm going to have some of that. Oh, no, God, I don't want any of that. Oh, no, God. God said that doesn't work that way. You see, what you got to do is you got to be willing to do whatever God says before God ever tells you what He wants you to do. I got to be willing to do it in advance. It's not cafeteria style. God, your will be done and not my will be done. Number three, I must look to God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. The psalmist prayed this way in verse 133. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. God's will is found in God's word. You want to know what God have you to do? God has written it down. Now listen, folks, if you don't read this book, if you don't study this book, don't expect to know what God's will is. God's written it down. Now, you say, now, preacher, it doesn't tell me over there what my wife's name's going to be. But you want me to tell you what it does? It gives you principles to say this is what a godly woman looks like. It gives you principles like, what does light have to do with darkness? It has principles like, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can find God's will in God's Word. And then secondly, God's will never contradicts God's Word. You see, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Bible says it is God-breathed. And so if somebody says, well, God has said, or it's God's will, and it contradicts the Word of God, it's a lie. It's a lie. I'll give you an example of what happened to me one time. I was in a church. It was on a Wednesday night. We were having a prayer meeting service. A woman stood up and said, Pastor, I'd like to say something. Well, I thought she was going to give a testimony. God is good. Let me tell you how God's blessed me. She stood up and blasted. I mean, a vicious attack at another believer in the congregation. Just destroyed the spirit in the church. Afterwards, I got some of my leaders. I went to this person and I said, why did you do that? What you did is not of God. Oh, yeah, I was led of the spirit. I said, no, you weren't. You weren't led of the Holy Spirit. She said, how do you know that? I said, because what you did contradicted the Word of God. The Word of God says if you have aught in your brother, in your heart towards your brother, you go to them in private. And if that doesn't work, you go back and get two or three, and then you go. And if that doesn't work, then you bring it before the church. You didn't do what God said. You was led by a spirit, but it was an evil spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. All right, and then next, I must ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. Psalm 27 is my favorite psalm, verse 11. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do, and lead me down a right path. So you're going to say, all right, Holy Spirit, show me what to do. You're asking Him. Do you understand that God knows more about you than you know about yourself? The Bible says about you that God knows the number of hair that are on your head. Not only that, but He said every hair is numbered. Now, anybody here want to raise their hand and tell me how many hairs on your head? Some of you wouldn't have to count as much as the others, but you still don't know. Brother Joe Bates recently had open heart surgery. I wonder who's sitting in this room today that's got a clogged up artery and don't know it. See, you don't know if you got it, but can I tell you something? God knows you got it. One day, Connie Drum was in the shower, and as she was showering, she felt a lump. Can I tell you something? God knew that cancer cell was growing before it ever became a lump. You see, God knows more about you than you know about you. And so you want the God who knows all there is to know about you to lead you and to guide you. Well, how's that happen? Well, you have to ask Him. And you ask Him humbly. Notice here what it says in Psalm 25 and verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Well, how do you do that? Well, you're going through your day, and you're faced with a decision. You just pray a quick prayer. All right, Holy Spirit, show me what to do. And let me tell you what the Holy Spirit would do. The Holy Spirit would take where you've been reading and studying the Word of God, where you've been in Sunday school and discipleship and worship, when you've been listening to stuff on the radio, it's about the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will all of a sudden remind you of something you have forgot about. And the Word of God will come up, and you'll say, all right, that's what I'm supposed to do. Can I tell you, we're good forgetters. And we forget what we've read, but the Holy Spirit can bring it back to us. So we just humbly, all right, Holy Spirit, show me what to do. And then secondly, you got to ask by faith. James 1 verse 5 says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He'll gladly tell you. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. If you don't ask Him in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you a solid answer. You understand? You got to ask in faith. You got to believe that God's going to do what you've asked Him to do. Because see, if you doubt, listen, God's not going to bless that. I have a friend of mine, he was out west. One of these days, I might get to go out west. I'd love to go to Yellowstone National Park and see the Grand Canyon and some of that stuff. But anyhow, he's out there and his wife's driving. And she said, you know what, we're about out of gas. And he said, oh my. He said, that last billboard said it's 30 miles to the next gas station. She said, well, I don't know if we'll make it 30 miles. He said, well, I got an app on my phone. So he pulls up his app and says, what's the nearest gas station? And it says, well, it's only 9 miles away. And then you get off this road, go 1 mile down a side road, and there's a gas station there. You know, at that moment, my friend had a decision. Do I try to make it the next 30 miles and believe what the sign said? Or do I go by the app on my phone and get off this road in 9 miles? Or do I turn around and go back? You see, you and I are going to have a choice in life. Are we going to believe how we feel? Are we going to believe the signs? Or are we going to believe the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us the truth of God's Word? You've got to ask by faith and expect God to do what he says he's going to do. And then lastly, you can do all nine of these, and if you don't do this, it won't do you a bit of good. I must listen to God's response. When I say, God, lead me, I got to listen to what God says. In Job 33, verse 14, God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. Folks, we got to be still and let God speak. But what we do is we ask God, and then we rush off, and we ask this person, instead of just waiting on God. And so we have all this noise in our life, so we can't hear the Holy Spirit. There's a man in our church, and he's having some physical problems right now, and so I tried to call him. And I called him. I got a busy signal. I waited. I called back. I got a busy signal. I waited. Called back. I got a busy signal. Now I tried again, and guess what? It ringing. And it rings and rings and rings. And then it goes to voicemail. I'll leave a message. And so I listen to all the thing. And then finally it comes on and says, sorry, but the mailbox is full. And you see, I was trying to get a message, but it was just being blocked. And you see, sometimes God's trying to speak, and we're so busy, instead of getting still, we don't hear from God because God's speaking and our line's busy. Let me show you when we listen what God can do. Psalm 77 and verse 19. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. You know what this is about? This is a story about the Exodus. The people of God, they have come out of Egypt. There's a mountain on this side. There's a mountain on this side. There's an ocean in front of them. And Pharaoh and all of his army are charging just as hard as they can. Let me tell you where this happened at. There's a name for it. It's important. Write it down. Baal Zephon. And in Hebrew, it means God's hidden treasure. And let me tell you what happened. They stood there and they waited, be still and know that I am God. And God opened up the ocean and there was an interstate highway across the Red Sea. And they walked across on dry land because God made a way. Can I tell you that road was there all along? But nobody could see it. What they had to do is they had to listen to God. And God said, do it. Hold up your staff. He held up the staff and God parted the way. Listen, some of you here today, you've got a mountain on this side and a mountain on that side. And you've got an ocean in front of you. And the enemy is attacking you. And you say, God, I don't know what to do. And God is saying to you today, listen, I have a hidden treasure. I have a way you can't see. Nobody can see. But if you will trust me and follow me and do what I would have you, I will make a way. Will you bow your head? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you right now? Would you allow God to make a way? Will you believe by faith that God has a hidden treasure that you can't see? And God wants to work and move and do something miraculous in your life. We make our choices, and our choices make us. In a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to make a choice. And I hope you'll choose to get up out of your seat. You'll come to this altar and you'll say, God, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's some things I need to stop doing to hear, show me what they are. God, if there's some things I need to start doing to know the leadership of the Holy Spirit, help me, God, to know what to do. You're facing a decision. You're facing a problem. You're facing a circumstance, and be led by the Spirit. God has a hidden treasure, and He will make a way if you let Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand right now that the Spirit of the living God is knocking. He is wooing. He is drawing. He is inviting. Lord, help us to drown out all the other noise, that we might hear and do what the Holy Spirit have us to do right now. In Jesus' name, amen.